Okay. Oh, this is Camila Cabello?
Yes, it is.
All right, so Momo, this is who you might want to be. I think she's 19.
That'd be fun.
She was the star of the Grammys.
And she's got a great voice, totally in shape, whole life ahead of her. That's pretty cool.
Not a bad choice. A bad choice. All right, so yesterday the big story, and it was still a huge story this morning, is that Nick Saban basically said the private part out loud.
Yep.
There is honor among thieves. Most colleges cheat. I hate to tell you this, if you're a proud alumni of whatever school you went to, your college cheats, all right? But there's a certain level of cheating that everybody looks the other way on. And now with name, image, and likeness, there really are no rules. You talked about it yesterday, Ramona, that it's the Wild West. You can put together a package to get a kid to come to your school where you're basically paying him like a pro. And Nick Saban, who's won 7 national titles, 6 of them at Alabama, 1 at LSU. And oh, by the way, when he won that title at LSU, his offensive coordinator was Jimbo Fisher.
Excellent.
They worked together at LSU. So Nick did not like coming in second in recruiting this year to Jimbo. And he was talking to a group of civic leaders in Birmingham. This was from a couple of days ago. And he threw Texas A&M under the bus. Here's exactly what Saban said.
And you've read about them. You know who they are. I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right? We didn't buy one player. All right? But I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it.
So yesterday, Jimbo Fisher announced, I'm having a press conference, and he just came out and killed Saban. For 20 minutes. He just basically, we played a lot of that yesterday. But one part I caught this morning that I didn't catch yesterday, Ramona, is that I've always wondered how to handle it. I'm sure you and I have both been in these situations when you're either so mad at someone or they're so mad at you that you, for whatever reason, want nothing to do with them, at least for the moment. Jimbo not only wants nothing to do with Saban, who he used to work for, he not only doesn't want anything to do with him now, he says they're done forever. This was Jimbo yesterday at his press conference.
Have you had any contact with Nick since?
No. Oh, he's called.
You just didn't take the call?
Not going to. We're done.
And
he shows you who he is.
And then I just wanted to...
He's the greatest ever, huh?
And then I just wanted
to... When you got all the advantages... Easy.
Ramona, have you ever been so mad at somebody that you'll never talk to them again?
No.
Me either.
No. And I don't believe in that. I think even I've had people who I felt like stabbed me in the back or betrayed me, and I file it away and I don't let them hurt me again and I protect myself, but I keep it moving. It's bad business.
Mason is somebody who holds grudges, and he admits that he does. I'm the opposite. I'm more like you in this scenario. And if you want to ring through on this, 877-710-ESPN. Bergman, do you have anybody in your life that you are so mad at that you'll never talk to him again?
Not anymore. I mean, I've been so mad at that I shut someone out for a long time. Like I shut my family out for a little while.
I think everybody does that to a certain degree. But,
but not anybody right now that I was so mad. No, I don't think I can get that mad anymore.
Right. There's just
I talked to my ex-wife for geez sakes.
I know. Well, everybody has a lot of anybody who's gone through a divorce has to deal with that. But the interesting thing about this is they're in the same conference. I mean, they're going to see each other at SEC Media Day in a month. They play this year.
Yeah.
So, like, when the coaches go out at the end of games to shake hands, they're just going to blow that off? I mean, Taylor, play again the clip with Jimbo Fisher. Listen to the finality of this and how much he hates Saban.
Have you had any contact with Nick since?
No. Oh, he's called.
You just didn't take the call?
Not going to. We're done.
And
he shows you who he is.
And then I just wanted to...
He's the greatest ever, huh?
And then I just wanted
to... When you got all the advantages, it's easy.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like it's repairable.
No.
And it, you know, one reason why I wouldn't go where Jimbo went, I don't think it's healthy. I don't think it, like, you only have so much headspace.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to spend any of it hating people.
Yeah.
I
also think he has to stand, like, Nick took very personal shots at him. Nick is pouting because Jimbo's out recruiting him or out playing this new system. In a lot of ways, Nick is speaking to his booster saying, hey, if you want us to keep winning, you got to pony up, right? Because the Texas A&M boosters are doing this and you're not. Okay, that's kind of what he's saying. But that was a personal attack, so it deserves a personal response. But to me, like, I don't know. It just keep it moving, man. Like, you don't need to blow up like that. That's
what I would say.
It's too severe.
If, in that scenario, is, hey, he can say whatever he wants, but they have to play us.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, we can settle this stuff on the field. I would drum up the actual on the field competition.
Yeah.
But it sounds like these guys used to work together. And now Jimbo Fisher's never going to talk to him again. And I just found that element of it weird. And I wonder if that's going to be, if other coaches are going to feel that way about Saban now. That he kind of said the quiet part out loud. You know what I mean? Did he violate a code, a college coach's code in going public with that?
I mean, yeah, but it's also a people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones.
Right.
I mean, it's like, clearly everyone has been doing this to some extent, and maybe Texas A&M is going a little over the edge, right? Maybe Texas A&M is going way too far with it, but, you know, there's like what you said, is there honor among thieves? Like, if everybody's doing it, it's kind of weird to call out the one guy who's just doing it better than everyone.
Right, and now I think he put a microscope on his own program.
Yeah.
Which was just kind of weird. All right, let me get to something else. The Philadelphia City – you voted for Joel Embiid for MVP, right? You have an MVP.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he didn't win it. Nikola Jokic won it. Yesterday, the Philadelphia City Council gave Joel Embiid a Most Valuable Philadelphian Award, basically their own MVP. Is that cool or kind of embarrassing?
It's kind of embarrassing.
I do. I think so too.
Yeah, especially after they lost. Like, if they were still playing, okay. But like, if I was Embiid, I'd be like, I don't know about all that.
Right, and nor would I. Like, do I have to accept it now?
I know. Do I got to come down? You know, to get
it sounds like
City Hall.
Yeah,
know?
It sounds like politicians being politicians. City Council passes a resolution
naming
Joel Embiid the MVP.
I have never seen so many politicians embarrass themselves thoroughly as I did when I went to City Hall on the day that they declared Kobe Bryant Day in Los Angeles.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. City Hall. And there must have been 12 people who wanted to make a speech. And I, you know, I went down there and I was covering it and everything.
Was Kobe still alive?
Yeah. Yeah. It was August 8th. You know, they did it. It was right. Like, I think that's Kobe Bryant Day in L.A.,
or it was
right?
Probably or, August 24th, right?
Yeah, 24th. I forget what day it is. Yeah. And it went down and it was Kobe Bryant Day in L.A. And I was like, you know, nobody wants to hear from anyone but Kobe. Like,
right.
The only person that anyone here wants to listen to is Kobe Bryant. And they would have these politicians get up there and they would all talk for like 10 minutes. And I'm like, nobody's covering you. You're not going to make the evening news. I don't even want to sit here. I just want Kobe to talk so I can go home.
Well,
right?
I am,
like, this is embarrassing.
Yeah. I MC a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And the first thing I say to people that ask me to come MC whatever it is, a charity event, a banquet, I said, how many people do you have lined up to talk?
Yep.
And if they don't have an answer or if they don't know, I just say, look, I've MC'd hundreds of these things. I can tell you right now that if you're honoring Jerry West, if you're honoring Phil Jackson, get Jerry West and Phil Jackson to the microphone as quickly as possible.
Absolutely.
If you put 10 people up there to talk about how great they are, the crowd is going to go cold on you.
Uh-huh.
It is the number one rule. And politics works the opposite. Politicians won't come to an event unless they have a role, unless they have a speaking part. And it just leads to what you're talking about, an event where you have 12 different people talking and it's like, oh, dear God, stop.
Yeah.
You know, it becomes the absolute end of the world. If I was Joel Embiid, I would politely turn this down. It just doesn't, you know, it's like I couldn't win the real MVP, so I have to accept most valuable Philadelphian from the city council. I don't care.
I mean, look, when the Southern California Jewish Sports Hall of Fame called and asked and told me that I was being honored, I said yes.
Right.
Because that's a big deal for me, right? Like, hey, that's cool. Like, you know, all my Jewish relatives are going to come. It's like a big pride thing, right? But also, I'm not up for anything bigger than that.
Right. Like, it's like, that's what I have to do.
Yeah. Like, this is a big deal for me. But like, you know, if I'm Embiid and I didn't win MVP, I'd be like, thank you very much.
One time I got called, there's this great charity down in Orange County called the Orange County Youth Sports Foundation. And they just had their big event. They honored Bob Costas a couple of nights ago.
Okay.
It was great. They got Bill Walton came out. Kareem came out.
Yeah.
Roy Firestone came out. It was really good. They did a great job. So one year they said, we want to make you, because I grew up in Orange County, they said, we want to make you our honoree. And I said, the only way I'll agree to that is if it's a roast, Mason hosts it, and people like you can come make fun of me.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we did.
That was great, yeah.
Yeah, and if you do that, then you're not accepting most valuable Philadelphian, you know?
Oh.
It's like, oh, God, that just is a freaking nightmare.
I was all cringing when I saw that, John.
Yeah.
Cringing
I was like,
for him.
Really? Really? That's what you're going to do? All right, let me squeeze this in. Have you ever caught a foul ball at a game?
Never.
Bergman, have you?
Nope, not once.
Taylor, foul ball at a game ever?
Not me either. Somebody threw me one.
I caught one once. Somebody threw me one once. Did you guys see this? That a couple nights ago in Fenway Park,
yes,
the same guy, same exact guy,
yes,
caught two home run balls in the same inning. So somebody homered over the monster in left. This guy caught the ball. He's there with a girl. It bounced. He grabbed it. Second one's coming right at him in the air. He catches it with his bare hands. The odds of that have got to be similar to...
It's like getting struck by lightning.
Or winning the lottery, right?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
How far are you willing to go for a foul ball? Will you dive into nachos to get a foul ball? Or are you passive?
Yeah, I'd do that. I would do the nachos.
I'm afraid I'm going to hurt somebody.
I'm going to hurt myself.
Yeah. Bergman, are you aggressive if a foul ball comes near you?
If it's close enough, I'm diving over people if I have to.
Yeah,
yes.
And you're going
to
break some 80-year-old woman's arm and
feel
terrible.
Well, I mean, you
got to
realize what's around you. If there's a little kid or an 80-year-old woman, then no.
Things are around you. It's a
you
baseball
know,
game.
There's not always that type of person around you.
You went to a game a couple weeks ago,
yes,
didn't you? You're telling me you could tell me if there were kids or old people sitting to the left or the right of you that night?
That night? I don't remember now.
Exactly.
But when I'm there at the time, I'll know. Some like 6-year-old, I'm not going to be diving over some 6-year-old to get a foul ball.
What are you talking about? When you get to the game, you sit in your seat and pay little or no attention to the people that are around you. I don't know if it's a kid. I've been to games where I don't even know who the person right next to me is.
I mean, come on. You have to understand who's next to you and around you. You absolutely know. You know what you don't have peripheral vision, John?
I do, but I don't. I mean, if a foul ball comes to me, my instinct's going to be to go for it. Unless it's
so you're jumping over a 90-year-old woman.
No, but you are, right?
No, not a 90-year-old. Like just regular people. You know,
this happened to a friend of mine.
30s.
Once. This friend of mine, the foul ball comes. 50s. We had great seats at the Dodger game. It was me.
80s is fine.
It was me, him, my friend Jack, and then my son and his son. So two dads. Two kids around 10 or 12. Right behind home plate. Pop-up comes up, bounces 5 feet to our right, and my buddy, who's a former college football player, jumps on it. Just dives into the dog pile and comes out of there with it. And this woman goes, "You hurt my arm."
Oh, no.
And he goes, "I didn't even see you." This is you, Bergman, just diving for the ball. He goes, "I didn't even see you. I didn't even know you were there." She goes, "You landed right on top of my arm. I think I might have broken my arm."
Oh, my God.
And I said, "Do you want me to call the usher? Do you need medical attention?" She goes, "Well, I don't know." And you know how he got out of it?
Gave her the ball.
Gave her the ball.
Oh, wow.
And all of a sudden, her arm was fine, Greg.
Uh-huh. Yeah. She's spinning it around. She's like, "Oh, look at this.
I think he
Let's
got
play
played.
Catch.
I think he got played." Now, in that scenario, if you hurt a woman, would you give her the ball?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
If I hurt somebody, of course. Well, I'd probably give it to a kid anyway.
Yeah, you would have got played.
It's so embarrassing when you, like, hurt somebody like that. Like, it's so, like, especially if you're an adult and or if you're a man and you hurt a woman, or if, like, you're an adult and you hurt a kid or something like that. Like, there's just no coming back from that. There's nothing you can say. There's nothing you can do. You totally did it, and you should just walk away in shame. Just walk away in shame. Like, it's so, oh, I mean, like, I've told this story on air before. It's very embarrassing for me, but, like, it's not, and it's not a good look, you know, but, like, I remember when I was a kid, we went to the McDonald's playground, and there was some punk kid who kept throwing the ball at me,
and
I was a little
old. You knock him off the jungle gym?
Not quite. I was in the ball pit, right, in this little, I don't know, he must have been 4 or 5, probably 5-ish, and I was like maybe 9 or 10, probably a little too old to be in there still, right?
Yeah.
And this kid was like a punk. Like, he kept throwing the ball at me and hitting me in the head. And at one point, I just turned around and threw the ball back at him. And it was not good, okay? Like, he totally started crying. I don't think I hit it really hard. But his mom came over, and she was like, "What happened? Are you okay?" And he starts pointing at me like, "She hurt me." And I was like, and she was like, "Did you hurt? What did you do?" And I was like, "Oh, no, I don't know what you're talking about." And then I just left immediately. It was very embarrassing.
And obviously, it left a huge emotional scar on your psyche.
I mean, I still remember it. I was like, "Oh my God, Ramona, don't ever do that again." Like, it was so bad.
Let me ask you something. What would you pay if I told you could have Sean Connery's Aston Martin, the one he actually drove in real life? What would you be willing to pay for it?
Not much. Not very comfortable.
I feel exactly the same way, but I'll tell you what's going on coming up next. It makes no sense to me.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, coming up in about 20 minutes, Bergman will get in here with Jump Ball. He'll throw a bunch of stuff at Ramona and I. Jorge's game today, Game of Games coming up later. Ramona, your game yesterday was excellent.
Thank you.
I always say you either do... you either do really good games or just complete belly flops. Yesterday, I lost on the last question.
Yeah.
But I thought the game was very good, hard.
Thank you.
Not too easy, not too hard. I thought it was you nailed it. That was great. So today you get to play.
Thank you. I'm improving. But mostly, I think I always play Jeopardy. I think, Greg, don't you think I seem to gravitate towards
Jeopardy?
Well,
Mason always plays Jeopardy. It's
you
a
and
game
Mason.
He knows now.
Yeah.
But your game yesterday was good, even though Bergman got zero correct answers.
I got one.
You got one.
I got one.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah, I got one. Hey, come on.
So,
give me a little credit.
So, you guys, probably the coolest movie actor of all time is James Bond. I love Bond movies. I think they're great.
Yep.
He's had over, James Bond, the character, has driven over 24 cars in all the movies. They've everything from BMWs to Bentleys, Chevys, Fords. But the 1964 Aston Martin DB5, known as the Bond car, is the one that Sean Connery first drove in Goldfinger. So, like, the very first Bond car. It had gadgets like machine guns, an ejector seat, an oil slick maker. So, more than 50 years later, just a few years ago in 2018, Connery went looking for a 1964 DB5 for himself. And after looking for a year, he finally bought one without the guns and the gadgets in 2018. He died 2 years later when he was 90. His DB5, the only one he ever actually owned, will be offered for sale at auction this summer. Now, the car is expected to get just under $2 million. A 1964 car. It'll be offered at the in Monterey, Northern California, on August 18th. Normally, a car in pristine condition like this would be worth half that, would be worth $1 million. even if Connery had never been anywhere near it. Ramona, this is a blind spot for me. I don't own any memorabilia. Do you? Like anything signed,
bit, not really.
Anything
nothing good.
From a movie, from a fave, like nothing.
Nothing good.
I don't get why people are like, do you understand why somebody would be willing to pay $2 million for this car, even though it's worth half that, just because at one point Sean Connery owned it?
Yeah, I do. Because I think there's no shortage of rich guys who have too much money to spend and not enough things to spend it on that would do that.
I would also be, Bergman, wouldn't you be too nervous to drive it?
Absolutely not. If you get it, you better drive it. I mean, unless you're Jay Leno and you're just kind of putting it in a
garage. No, I think it's a display piece. I think it's a total display piece. It's like you have, do you watch that? John, you love the Selling Sunset. I love the million dollar listings. Okay. A couple of years ago, one of the listings they had on the LA show was the Iron Man house. It's like down in La Jolla. And it's like where Robert Stark lived or something. And it's like, I'll send you a link to it. It's really cool. But it's like they could charge an extra $2 million because it was in the movie. And it's so cool. And everybody who goes there is going to be like, wow, this was in the movie. And the way they would look for buyers for this is like, it's just interesting how they would profile the type of person who would want to buy this. It's like, it has a showroom for cool cars and collectible cars. There's so many rich guys who... Like, if you have Jeff Bezos money, what are you going to do with all of it? You got to just buy some cool
I don't
things,
think I would buy memorabilia. Although, okay, so let's do a hypothetical. Bergman, yeah. I say you can have any piece of movie memorabilia from any movie ever, but you only get one.
And am I guaranteed it's going to work?
It'll work, and I guarantee not only will it work, but it will be the actual one that happened in the movie. We'll figure out some way to authenticate it.
So I want the thing from Back to the Future. You know,
hoverboard. The DeLorean?
I want the hoverboard. I want the hoverboard.
Taylor, how about you? One thing from any movie ever.
Any movie ever. Okay, give me the Man with No Name's poncho from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Oh, the Clint Eastwood poncho.
Yeah.
That's cool. Oh. Nice choice.
Oh, that is a strong answer. Momo, any piece of movie memorabilia ever?
Something from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Like,
well, you take his whip.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
You know,
go ahead.
I think I would take the gun that Al Pacino uses when he comes out of the bathroom in The Godfather to kill the crooked cop. That he drops on the floor of the restaurant. The gun, take the cannoli. Just because it would be so...
Yeah,
you guys know who Roger Lodge is?
Yeah.
Okay, so Roger does a sports talk show on AM830. It's been
Blind
a sportscaster. He was the host of Blind Date. Really good dude. Roger was a huge fan of the original Match Game show.
Yeah.
Greg, you probably don't even know about that. Do you know about the original Match Game show? It was in the 70s.
I used to watch it. He had the little ball on the stick there for the microphone.
Yeah, that's what Roger has.
Oh, that's awesome.
He has Gene Rayburn's stick bike as the original host of the Match Game. And he's got it. And so he's just got it in a case laying around his house. And so when people come over, he can tell that story. Now, that's kind of cool, but I wouldn't pay a lot for it. The thing I can't get to is people that are like there are sports collectors that are willing to pay like $5 million for Mickey Mantle's pants from the 1960 World Series. And I can't get there. And by the way, how do you know he didn't keep the real pants for himself and sell these pants and just tell you they were the ones he wore in the game?
True.
And if anybody ever says to me, because they have a certificate of authenticity, well, if they're willing to fake the pants, they're willing to fake the authenticity, right? They can just fake that too. I saw this before Kobe died, Real Sports did a story about fake signatures, and they brought all this stuff that was selling online, and they brought it to Kobe, and they said, is this your signature? He goes, nope. He goes, how about this? Nope. There's no way. I mean, just because somebody says where it comes with a certificate of authenticity doesn't mean anything.
Have you ever watched Pawn Stars on AMC?
Is that the whole bit?
Yeah, like they you know, you go to a pawn shop and you try and sell something, and they'll have the certificate of authenticity, but they always have an expert come and check it out, and it's always fake. It's almost always fake.
Wow.
So totally agree with that. It's a great show, by the way.
That is a good show.
All right. Did you guys hear what happened in New York with Grubhub?
No.
Okay. I'll tell you, there was a food crisis in New York City yesterday. I'll tell you about that. But first, want to remind you that you have a chance at VIP tickets to the sold-out 710 Mandy Awards on June 24th. Download the all-new ESPN LA app and click on the contest button. By the way, if you don't have the app yet, you're blowing it. The app makes your life so much easier. You download it, one tap it, you can listen to live 710. You can listen to any podcast. It's all super easy to use. And if you haven't downloaded the ESPN LA app yet, do it. Go to the App Store, type in ESPN LA, and you will be all set. Everybody in New York City made a Grubhub order at exactly the same time. What happens next? We'll tell you. 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, Mason in Ireland. Ramona's in for Mace. We got jump ball coming up in about 10 minutes. Okay, so Tuesday in New York City, Grubhub, which is one of the food delivery services that everybody uses, offered a deal, $15 off any lunch order between 11 and 2.
Yep.
They didn't realize how many people would see it. They started receiving 6,000 orders a minute for three hours. It caused massive delays and total chaos. Now all the restaurants in Manhattan are pissed at Grubhub. Momo, how often do you use a food delivery app, and which one do you use?
Okay, so we are Postmates people, which I guess is now Uber.
Okay, it's now Uber Eats?
Uber Eats. I think it's owned by Uber, so we still order it on Postmates, but I think it's Uber. And there was a time, especially during the pandemic, when we were like, 3-4 times a week, at least.
Yeah.
Now I'm not as much because I have the special diet, so I can't, you know, I can't eat any restaurant food right now. Like, it's just, I have to have paleo everything. It's just very, I'm right now for lunch, I'm having paleo turkey sliders. Very exciting. It's like, but there's a time when we were 3-4, sometimes even 5 times a week.
Bergman, which one do you use?
I use Grubhub or whatever the Chipotle app uses.
I use DoorDash. Taylor, do you use a food delivery app?
I'm all about that pickup life, actually.
So you go...
Really?
You'll go save yourself the money and go pick it
You're
up.
You're such an interesting dude,
I'll
Taylor.
Time it out.
It's, you know, well, why he's single, too.
No, but you don't... No. That's actually smart, because if you look at how much money you're paying just for...
Oh, yeah.
And then I feel like I got to tip the driver. And so Taylor's probably saving, depending on how big his order is, he's probably sending 15, 20 bucks an order just by going and picking it up.
Yeah.
But what's interesting about this is that, okay, so they didn't tell the restaurants that they were doing this, that they're missing. So they just crushed the restaurants. And now, you know, now everybody's mad at the restaurants for their food not coming up when it was all Grubhub's fault.
Right.
We each named a different place. Bergman said it Grubhub. You said Uber Eats. I said DoorDash. Didn't Grubhub take a serious risk here? If I was a restaurant that Grubhub crushed, I would delete them. Why do I need them? I have DoorDash, I have Uber Eats, I have everybody else. If they're going to announce a sale like that and not tell me about it, doesn't that, I mean, that cripples me, right? It doesn't do anything to them. If the order doesn't get there, I made the order, and now I got to get the money back. It just seems like grub. All right, so that's my first food story. It's a food segment. Second one, did you see this, Ramona? A Wisconsin man celebrates eating at least one Big Mac every day for 50 years.
What?
This dude has eaten a Big Mac every day for 50 years. He holds the Guinness World Record for most Big Macs ever eaten, well over 32,000. He's now set a new record for eating Big Macs daily for 50 consecutive years. It was certified back in 2016 when he was at a little over 28,000. He's now up to 32,000. He's done it for 50 straight years with the exception of 8 days. He only had 8 days, which is pretty amazing when you consider all the things that could get in the way. You know, travel, getting sick, surgery. 8 days in 50 years he's missed. And this guy is still alive and well. And everybody is celebrating this guy. He's like a local celebrity now.
You know what that tells me? I should go get some McDonald's after the show.
You know what it tells me? We've misprioritized. This isn't anything worth celebrating. This guy's lucky to be alive. Didn't you guys see that see that Morgan Spurlock movie?
Yeah.
I mean, why hasn't anyone stopped him? Why are we making this guy into a celebrity?
This guy was in it. I saw that, and he was at 30 years at that point. I didn't think he'd live this long.
And so he was in Supersize Me?
Yeah, he was featured in it.
Okay, and so he's now done it for 50 years. I mean, I don't want to food shame anybody, and I think you be you. You should eat what you want to eat. But I don't think we should celebrate a guy eating 50 years of Big Macs. Am I being a party pooper here? Bergman, seriously, you don't think this guy's going to die of diabetes or something?
He hasn't. He's been doing this for 50 years. I mean, I wouldn't say everybody should do this, but if the guy's doing it for 50 years, then, like, good for him. It works for him. It works for his body. His body is used to it at this point.
The amazing thing about this guy's streak.
I'm going to go get a Big Mac when I get out of here.
You're an idiot. The amazing thing about this guy's streak, okay, he keeps the receipts for proof. It's the only way he really had to confirm that he did it before smartphones where he could film himself eating one in front of a clock every day. So his record began on May 17th, 1972.
Oh, my God.
That is every day since then he's had a Big Mac. When is it okay to say, that's not cool, it's stupid? Right? Okay. Am I the only one who thinks we shouldn't celebrate this?
Does he have cheat days?
Was that eight?
Isn't that the cheat day?
Isn't that the cheat, though? What would a cheat day be, Taylor? Two Big Macs?
Not eating one? Having a banana?
8 days and 50 years.
Okay, so here's the thing. How did this start? Like, was this some kind of life goal? Or did he just really like Big Macs, and then after, like, a year or so of eating them, he was like, you know, I could probably go for this.
I think it was more that.
Let me see if it says stuck up on him, huh?
He ordered 3 Big Macs one day in the 70s, and he liked it so much he said, "I'm probably going to eat these the rest of my life." So he did. He now holds multiple world records.
Wow.
Here it is, Taylor. He's been known to the mainstream since his appearance in Supersize Me. Every time he sets a new record, people celebrate it. I think we should be sending this guy a doctor. I mean, 50 years of it. Like, I worry about Mason sometimes. Mason, really, I mean, he does eat like a 12-year-old. I mean, he gets donuts every night.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And, you know,
in bed
and does edibles. Ooh. I mean, Somebody
well, those two go together, John.
Exactly.
You eat the edible, you eat the food in bed.
It doesn't make any sense. All right, anyway, so yeah, there are people in Wisconsin celebrating this idiot who's had a Big Mac every day for 50 years. I think that we should be doing the opposite. All right, coming up next, Jump Ball. Bergman will get in here. He's got a lot of stuff for us, and we'll tackle it all next. Momo in for Mace. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.
Thanks, Chris. We'll go back. We'll go old school with it.
Yeah,
for
it was
today.
A little old school with that one. I think. Yeah, I was going to say the radio Tinder's not exactly new, but what the heck? Go,
yeah,
let's
well,
roll with it.
It is it's on Sedano and Cap later today. Was
yeah,
that Taylor?
There you go.
New to me.
New yeah. to Taylor. There
it's
you
okay.
Go.
No big deal at all. All right. So Juan Soto is one of the best hitters in all of Major League Baseball, and he's 23. There's been a lot of talk around Soto being traded this season by the Nationals, even though his agent Scott Boras says it's not going to happen. Is there anybody on the Dodgers that you would not trade one for one for Juan Soto? Momo?
Nope. One for one? There's nobody. I would trade anybody for Juan Soto. I think he's the best.
And Bergman, I may be crazy here, but the Dodgers are so loaded with hitters that I don't think, and you tell me you're a bigger Dodger fan than I am, I don't think I would trade Walker Buehler one for one for him.
So Walker Buehler is the ace, and it's a good point, but he pitches every 5 days.
Right.
But Greg, look at the rest of our pitching staff. Okay, Kershaw's leaving, you know, pretty soon. Urias has not been the Urias that we've gotten used to. Don't you need, if you're going to go to a playoff series, you need an ace, right? The Dodgers have 1 through 9 now with the DH, are absolutely loaded. Don't they need Walker Buehler more than they need Juan Soto? I know that you're right. I understand your point. He pitches once every 5 days. But don't you need Buehler more than Soto, considering that roster construction?
So, I mean, in some senses, yes, but you'll go out and you'll go get another pitcher if you're going to do this. But at the same time, Juan Soto, again, is 23, and people are comparing him to Ted Williams. There's just a
he's
guy.
Great.
It's
he's
yeah,
great.
He's he may Mike Trout might be the only player yeah. better than him. So, I mean, if you have a chance to get him, you do it. Well,
I wouldn't trade Ohtani
he's more
one for
special.
One for Soto.
Oh, I would trade.
You would trade Shohei Ohtani
for one for Soto?
Yeah, no,
I wouldn't. Shohei Ohtani is Greg. He's Babe Ruth.
Yeah, right. But
you can't. He's a once in a 100-year player. You can't do it.
No, I understand what you're saying, but Shohei Ohtani he's gonna have to choose one or the other at some point.
Yeah,
he's doing it
yet.
Great right now, but he was already injured last year because of his arm.
Momo, you wouldn't, would you? Would you trade Ohtani one
no,
for one for
I would
one
not
Soto?
Trade Ohtani.
I would not trade Ohtani one for one for anybody. I wouldn't trade Ohtani one for one for Mike Trout.
I think he's trying to see how old.
Yeah, I think Ohtani is 27.
Yeah,
or
he's 27 years old. So you also have that the age difference in there. If you get Juan Soto, you're talking legitimately 10 good years.
Of this is an indictment on Juan Soto. He's great. He's everything you said he is. I just think Ohtani is a once in 100-year player. Maybe once every 200 years.
Totally agree with you. I just think that at some point his arm is not going to allow him to pitch again. As long as he can, it's great.
Haven't reached that point yet.
All right.
Corporate Greg, take it away.
All right, so California Sober is a big thing that you guys have been talking about recently. But there's an article from the San Francisco Chronicle about how the new wedding trend is to stop serving booze and start serving the herbal remedies. How would
really?
You feel if you showed up at a wedding and there was no booze,
okay,
only
no,
herb,
no,
or
no booze,
marijuana?
Great, but is it okay? So I've been to parties where they have like a pot bar,
right?
Yeah,
where they have different types of weed that I'm not a weed guy, so I never partake
I love when
in
you
the
say
pot
weed
bar.
Guy.
But at a wedding, I think it would be weird. So everybody would be, they're not edibles, right? Everybody would be smoking pot at the wedding.
Yes, everybody. You don't have to smoke, but they're
right,
not giving. They're
being,
not giving booze, but you can only smoke.
I get this. I totally get this. This is very LA. This is very California.
But aren't people of all ages at a wedding? Aren't like your grandparents and their parents?
True.
And you know, it's a
yeah.
Weird...
Why is it more acceptable to get totally drunk than to get totally stoned? And
that's what Mason would say if he was here. That's the argument that he would make. But I just think having weed for a certain generation of people would be extremely awkward. Like. Greg, if your mom and dad are both still alive, right?
Yes.
Would they Would they, are they? I'm guessing they're in their 70s, 60s, something.
They're in their 60s.
Okay.
Actually, did you just turn 70?
Yeah, my mom's 52? In her 80s.
Yeah, 70.
So she's going to kill me that I just said that. She says, don't get my age on the radio. I think she would be extremely freaked out if there was just weed at a bar, at a wedding. Ramona, you think that it could be pulled off?
It depends on the wedding. Like, if it was a young millennial wedding and there weren't a lot of kids there and it was kind of just, like, friends-ish, yes. But if there's, like, a lot of kids and, like, parents and family, I don't think so. I think you still got to have the booze.
Yeah, I do, too. I don't know if you could pull it off. Greg, you think you could pull it off?
Yeah, I think there's plenty of places that you can pull it off. I mean, yes, I understand the whole kid thing and the older people, but there's a lot of weddings now that probably won't have some of those things where you don't allow kids. And if you don't have to smoke, there's not going to be a big cloud of smoke over your head.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can still go to a different area and smoke. It's just, yeah, I think it's going to be more of a thing. I actually think this is going to be a trend.
Interesting. Huh. Yeah. I don't think you could pull it off unless the wedding was all young people.
Taylor, what do you think?
Yeah, it's not like you're forced to partake, like you said. So I think it's feasible. If you want to, just show up drunk. There you go. You can show up drunk. You can Uber in, be already hammered, and then go. To the wedding. All right, that works. All right, so Margot Robbie is set to be the lead in Ocean's 11 prequel that is set in the 1960s. Ooh. Part of what made the newer Ocean's movies so good was also how massive the security systems were and the wild ways that they had to get around them. How do you think this one will play out with a 1960s-style security and just with Margot as the lead?
Well, did you guys see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
I did not.
All right, she plays in that movie a 60s, 50s, 60s movie star, and she's perfect.
She fits the role, but the whole Ocean's 11 part of it was in the 60s.
Yeah, I loved Ocean's 11. I actually went back and watched the original Ocean's 11 with Sinatra and Dean Martin and Sammy Davis. Yeah, after I watched the Clooney, Brad Pitt, Don Cheadle one, and to me it totally held up. I would go check that out. I love Margot Robbie. I like Vegas. I like the subject. Momo, would you check out a Ocean's 11 prequel with Margot Robbie?
Totally. Yeah, I've liked all the Ocean's 11 ones. And if it's done by the same people, like the same producers, the same crew, then that's great.
I didn't watch Ocean's 8, which was the all-female heist movie.
It was good.
It was good?
I saw it was good. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I would, Greg, just based on that small description you gave me, Margot Robbie, Ocean's 11 type movie, I'm in.
1960s, yeah. All right, yeah, so Momo, you said you would go.
Yeah, yeah. Although I don't go to movies anymore, I just watch everything streaming.
Except you're gonna go to Top Gun.
No, I'll probably wait for it to come out on streaming. I'm kind of lame. I'm like very pregnant right now, so it's kind of like
that's true. You have different obstacles than I do.
Yeah.
All right, so Michael Vick is coming out of retirement at age 41.
What?
But for the fan-controlled league, which is a whole nother league where the fans actually, it's like a Madden-style thing where the fans get to control what plays are called. So why do you think no other football league works? Because this is eventually not going to work.
I'm glad you brought this up. I had this for later in the show, but I'll do it
Sorry,
now.
I needed another question before
no,
Pearl.
No. not the Michael Vick story. Did you guys see the XFL signed a 5-year deal with ESPN to air every game for the next 5 years? I love ESPN. I work here.
Yeah.
I can't imagine myself watching an XFL game in the next 5 years. Can you?
Nope.
What's the Michael Vick league called?
It's all about the streaming stuff. You know?
Fan-controlled league.
So what makes that appealing? What niche are they trying to get to?
It's like Madden. So if you play Madden, you choose the plays. So they actually have to run the plays that the fans call for them.
Yeah, I don't think it'll work. I just think the NFL is so good, and everybody is so loyal to it, that when the football season ends, I can't, like, have you guys been watching any of these?
USFL?
USFL on Fox or NBC?
Nope.
I haven't watched one play.
Yep.
And I understand that TV needs content. You know, these sports networks need content. I just don't have an appetite for football that isn't NFL. Am I the only one that feels that way? Mama. Taylor, have you watched 1 second of a rival NFL league?
I haven't, but I've been to a arena football game. Iowa Barnstormers. Shout out Kurt Warner.
Yeah, that's a little different in that they have like a cult following, the Arena League. But anything that tries to knock off NFL football, like football played in stadiums outdoors, 11 on 11.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Greg, I'm with you. I think that they all eventually bite the dust.
Yeah,
I can't imagine that this thing is going to work.
Is it like oversaturation type thing where you get it for so long and for like four or five months and then
like,
you don't want it anymore?
I'm excited about watching the Warriors and the Mavs, but I wouldn't watch a USFL game or a over 40 game or a XFL game. I just have no interest until the real NFL starts.
Taylor on top of it today. All right, so it's time for Purtle.
All right, Momo, we got a long streak going. Let's keep this going.
Let's do it.
All right, Momo, give Greg the name of any player in the NBA.
Luka Doncic.
Luka Doncic. So it is in the East. So, right. But it is a forward/guard. Height is under 6'7", age is under 23, and the number is under 77.
Okay, so wait.
In the East.
He's in the East, and he's young.
He's younger than 23.
R.J. Barrett.
R.J. Barrett. Oh, my God, you got it in two.
No way!
What?
That's the quickest anyone's ever gotten it.
You absolutely just got it in two.
Momo!
Nice job, Momo.
That is unbelievable. Did you just guess that random willy-nilly?
Yeah,
Ben Lyons' favorite player, R.J. Barrett.
Wow! You know what I need? Taylor, can you find the clip from The Simpsons where Homer Simpson sings, "I am so smart," and he tries to spell it and can't do it?
I am so smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
That was awesome.
That's a swag system right there. That's like, okay, forward in the East, young, you know, under 6'7". Like, I mean, you know, I'm just thinking former lottery picks, right? Young.
Nice job.
That was great
job. I was expecting that to go for at least five to six minutes.
You're out of questions. Wow.
Yes!
I could find something else. Yeah, that was excellent. That was excellent.
Well, usually, you know, we just do something and then that gets us a little closer. It'll be like, that's the team or that's not the team, right?
All right.
Wow.
So, by the way, when we come back, we're going to do a PGA update. But let me, because I got bad news for you suckers. I may have surpassed Jorge and moved into the lead in our little PGA game. All right. So, and Tiger is lurking again. He looks like Tiger
really
made the cut. But reminder, the 2022 Mason and Ireland Poker Invitational is back at the Commerce Casino on Saturday, June 11th. Here's what you need to do. Text POKER to 40705 for a chance to win a seat in our tournament. The prize pool starts at $2,500. Both Mason and I have bounties on our heads. You can knock us out and you get paid. Don't forget to text POKER to 40705 now. Visit commercecasino.com for more information. You got to be 21. Play responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit problemgambling.ca.gov. All right, coming up next, a PGA update. We'll get Jorge in here. Hey, Taylor, thank you very much for agreeing to hang around for a couple hours to get us through the swell. Have a great weekend.
Of course, same to you.
All right, so Jorge will join the show next. We've got Game of Games coming up in the final hour. We'll update you on the PGA. Much more happening. Momo in for Mason and Ireland, ESPN LA.